Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Franklin P. Jones said, "Love doesn't make the world go round. Love is what makes the ride worthwhile." Well, thank you for joining me today. The topic of today's show is love. What's personality got to do with it? It's based on my love book, all about relationships and the role that personality really does play in what we need from love, how we define love, what we expect of other people to be able to give us in order for us to feel love. So it's a very interesting book. I thought with it being February, we've got Valentine's Day coming. What a better time for us to go in and really explore love, because what I learned, and I'm going to share this, is love isn't a one-size-fits-all, but it really is one of the greatest rewards that we get from the experience of working with other people and living with other people and loving other people. It's one of those very few special things that we get a chance to see ourselves through the eyes of someone who loves us. And interestingly enough, they see all of our greatness. They see all of our successes. And that's very valuable, especially if we're looking at ourselves through the eyes of our failures. So love, what's personality got to do with it? It's the topic for today. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. And what I'm going to be doing, I was telling Rebecca, I got off coming back last night very, very late. So it's like, okay, so mouth, let's get going here. But what it is, I'm going to share my medical intuitive skills with you. And then also I can talk about your health. Or if you want to talk about a relationship, I can talk about that. Anything that you have a question for me will be a go. There's a couple of numbers that you can call in order to get in touch with me. It's 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. Those numbers are good for U.S., Canada, as well as international. Also, I have another major announcement, starting this afternoon at 3:00 Pacific time. I am going to be having my first try at an internet TV show. We actually have a show that is going to be airing on vibrancetv.com. Today is the first day that we're going to be doing a live show. We're going to actually do an official launch of the show next week. But if you're interested in seeing what I see when I see the aura, I'm always talking about the aura and what I see. But on today's show, I'm going to break out my handy dandy little crayons and my silhouette, and I'm going to actually share with you visually how I see an aura and what it can tell me about a person or tell me about an illness. So again, I hope that you'll join me. Please bear with me. It is our first live show. It's breaking, kind of cutting edge technology. So it should be a lot of fun. And then, today is what we call the beta test. And then next week we should be rocking and rolling. If you can't watch me, then what you can do is you can always go back to vibrancetv.com. I will actually have my own channel, and then you'll be able to view all of the shows that I've done, which is very similar to what Contact Talk Radio allows me to do with the archives, where you can go back and you can listen to my very first show when I started with Contact Talk Radio back in April of 2009. Very exciting how far this has come. So now you get a double dose of Carol on Wednesdays. When I started writing the book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? It was a book that Hay House had asked me to write because so much of their focus is the interpersonal relationship between people, whether it's friends or family or people that we love. So they wanted a love book. And I thought, well, that would be easy from the standpoint of personality, since that's my background. And it was an interesting thing about the book. I sat down, I had my outline, all the things that you do when you're going to start a book. I started in the process, and all of a sudden the book took a life of its own. And I thought, what is going on here? This usually doesn't happen as quickly in writing a book. And what I realized is that Hay House asked me to write the book. I was writing the book for you, but I really realized the reason it took on its own life is this book was really for me. I'm a yellow personality. And one of the things we're going to talk about today in the show is the yellow personality sees relationships as being very complex, emotionally complex, even at that. And the way that the yellow approaches a relationship and even approaches love is it's a problem that needs to be solved. So we're constantly in that problem solving mode. And that's fine if you're paired with another yellow, but it doesn't work if you're paired with a green or an orange or a red. I teach personality by color because how they define love is so different. What they need from love is so different. What they need from you is different. If I were paired with a green personality, what would happen is they just live for love. Everything that they say and do is always with you in mind as far as creating and building and sustaining that relationship. They don't look at it as a problem. They look at it as a joy and a pleasure in life. So the dynamics between the yellow and the green is the yellow is, well, we have a problem. The green doesn't even know what the problem is, can't figure out why everything has to be a problem. And we get on different wavelengths. And that's what I found is so difficult for us to be able to sustain the relationships. And then when you add the opposites attract syndrome to everything, oh my gosh, it left me scratching my head as I got into this book and asking myself, how do these relationships even work at all? See, there's another yellow. I found another problem, and on we go. So when we look at relationships and we look at the word love, we really have to go in and figure out, what does love mean to us? How do we define it? Do we define it through the romantic gestures that somebody gives us? Do we define it by being on the same mental wavelength? Do we define it by going in and being able to share how we emotionally feel about things without being vulnerable to the point that that's going to be used against us if we ever get into a conflict situation? And then there's a personality color, the red, that sees love as conditional. Now, when I say that, the greens of the world all cringe and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. But the reality of it is, the red looks at love is that I love you, you love me. I give you this, you give me that. If you give me that, I'm going to love you. If I don't get that, I may not love you less, but I'm not going to show you or tell you that I love you. It's just not in their neurology. It's not that it's a manipulative tool. It's not there in their neurology. So when I was writing this book, I sat down myself and I thought, you know, if I'm going to be able to share this with other people, I really need to go in and I need to really get an idea, my personality color, who am I really looking for? And I went in and I did a journal page called Mr. Right. And what I did is I wrote down all of the qualities that I was looking for in a partner and all of the things that I was definitely sure I did not want because of the relationships that I had. And 3 weeks later, I met my husband, Bruce, who is the same personality color. We've been married now for 26 years. And people will say, well, how did you do it? Well, we did it because we're the same personality color. And both of us don't want to be involved in a relationship that's emotionally complex, but we are very emotionally dependent and we have a lot of sensitivity about us. And I personally needed another yellow to be able to understand me as he did from coming out of his relationship. So not only what does love mean to you, but it can go in and help you define the type of person that you're really looking for. And when I say type, it isn't so much about the money or their success or who they are or their status, whatever it may be. Now, that's important to some personality colors, but for me, it wasn't. So I went in and I said, okay, what is important? For me, love is being on the same mental wavelength. And that was first and foremost of someone that I was going to pair with in my life. And whether I spent a lifetime with them or I spent any time with them, that was the number one thing that I was looking for in the love relationship. The other thing I did in writing the book is I sent surveys out to other personality colors and asked them, how would you define love, or what questions does this book need to address? And one of the questions that came in, there were really two of them that were the primary motivator behind love, the book, and what we're really trying to understand relationships. And the first question I got over and over again, why is it that the one thing we need, desire, yearn for, and crave more than anything else seems to be so laden and burdened with struggles? And isn't that the truth? And Rebecca and I were talking prior to the show. Love is work, but it doesn't have to be work where there are power struggles, but each person in a relationship has got to be willing to voice their needs. You know, I'm an intuitive, but we're not mind readers. Intuitives are not necessarily mind readers. In fact, we can't read people's minds. I read energy. But what we have to do in the work is it's our responsibility to share with the other person what our needs are. And by doing that, then they don't have to try to read the verbal, nonverbal cues, or they don't have to listen to the different behavior that we go through when our needs aren't being met. Just tell someone, I need a hug. I need a kiss. I need a snuggle. I need to be loved. And this is how I need to be loved. We're so afraid to do that because we become so vulnerable. That human ego comes in and it's like, don't ask that question. Don't say those things because what's going to happen if you don't get it? Well, you're not going to feel good about yourself. But love requires that we take risk and that we look at them as struggles and not necessarily as problems. There's a huge difference energetically. Struggle means being engaged in it, where both people are trying to find a common solution. A problem usually is one person identifies the other person has a problem. The other person's trying to figure out what the problem is. The person that initiated it is going in and trying to solve the problem when the poor person didn't even know they had one. Can you see the dynamics? It's no wonder that we have difficulty being able to communicate and make them work. The second primary question, why is it so difficult to sustain a relationship where the needs of both people can be fulfilled? Love has needs. We have intimate needs, we have emotional needs, we have physical needs, and we have mental needs. And when you look at love, it's important for you to really look at all of those needs. And if those needs are being met 3 out of 4, then there may be a little struggle, but the struggle isn't nearly as much of a challenge or a problem. But what happens when we get together with someone that their needs don't match us at all? We look at our intimate, physical, emotional, and mental needs, and theirs is diametrically opposite. Well, we really frankly have a choice. We either be quiet and go along with the program, or we say things and run the risk that the relationship may end, and always not ending in a loving fashion. I have so many people that have come to me for relationship counseling that have said to me, you know, I really need out of this relationship. I've known it for a long time. Many people have other activities outside of their relationship, whether it's clubs or organizations or friends, just to be able to stay in the relationship because they don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. The bottom line of it is, if they aren't the same personality color as you, you are going to hurt their feelings. Or you're not going to get the response, or maybe it doesn't register in what you're saying. I've had people say to me, Carol, I tell, you know, him over and over again, and that's not just a he, she situation. I've had it reversed also. I've had men say, I've told her over and over again how much I love her, how much I need these different things. And it always falls on deaf ears. I'm tired of talking. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I said to him, when you stop talking, the relationship starts withering and dying. And it is merely a period of time or whatever it may be before that relationship withers and dies, and it no longer can breathe that life back into it. And that's what happens when we stop talking. That's what happens when we don't keep working to keep the relationship alive. What does that mean? That means just keep talking. I found in my years of counseling of couples and everything, it isn't money, it isn't friends, it isn't children, it isn't the job, it isn't the things that our mind thinks that breaks up a relationship. The reality is what breaks up a relationship is the fact that we stop talking and sharing what we need. So first and foremost, in working with a relationship, it's like we have to make a pact with ourselves that we're not going to be as concerned about how the other person takes what we're going to say. Speak from your heart, meaning authentic to who you are. If you need to be able to emotionally share what's going on in your life and the person doesn't listen to you or doesn't take the time, then your job is to say to them, I need to have the freedom to share my emotional needs, and I need you to listen. Turn off the TV. Don't read the paper. Don't do anything else. I want you to look me in the eyes and I want you to listen. If they're not willing to do that, there's your answer. Now you can go in and say, where do we go from here? Sometimes it requires counseling. Other times, quite frankly, it requires that we literally are willing to walk away from a relationship. Painful for both people, but please remember that it is not easy. It is not possible, and I'm going to say it that way. It's not possible for us to end a relationship without hurting someone else's feelings. And that can be because we're different personality types. It can be from our history around relationships. You know, our best teachers of relationships and our most impressionable years were our parents. And the reality is that we duplicate a lot of the behavior of our parents' relationships in ours, which compromises many times who we authentically are. So a person can say, I'm not going to ever have a relationship like my mom and dad. And then all of a sudden one day wake up and go, oh my gosh, there's a lot of this relationship like my mom and dad. So what we have to do is come back. What do you need? How do you define love? And when you have those needs and you're clear about them, how are you going to communicate those to the other person? In relationships, we want them to work, but we have to be able to have someone tell us what we need and to be able to do that in a way that we don't feel vulnerable to it being used against us should a conflict arise. Conflicts are part of the struggle of a relationship. All they are is a difference of opinions. Conflicts become relationship breakers when it becomes a power struggle. So I'm going to continue talking about love and personality. If you don't know your personality color, what you can do is you can go to my website, reitberger.com. Actually, it's reitberger.com. Or my new website, whatcolorsyourpersonality.com, all one long word. And you can go in there and there is actually a mini personality assessment that talks to your brain. Your brain identifies you as a color, a brief description. And then if you really want to know about love and intimacy and relationships and how to deal with someone who is a different personality, I really encourage you to purchase my book through either Amazon or hayhouse.com. Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? It is really one of the great gifts that you can give yourself in your relationship. That's not because I wrote it. It's because I lived what I had to write in there and had to realize that I needed to get out of my yellow and go into my green, which is my secondary color. And then I really got a sense of what my real needs were around personality and love. It's a great book for relationships. And I hope it's one that if you do purchase it, you'll enjoy it. There's a full long version of the assessment that really talks to the brain. And a lot of times people will say to me, they'll say, oh, well, my husband or my wife won't take that, or my partner won't take that assessment. You don't need to worry about it. All you need to do is read about the descriptions in the book. And all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, they're not like me at all. So anyway, I hope you'll continue to enjoy the show. Let's go ahead and jump in. I'm looking forward to being able to take some calls. Let's start with Pam from Washington. Hi, Pam. Nice to talk to you, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Carol. I had a health question today.
All right.
It's in regard to my stomach, under my ribs. I have consistent pain, kind of some burning, sometimes bloating. I've had lots of tests done. I've had CT, MRI, blood work, you name it. And everything pretty much comes back normal, except I have had one sedimentation rate that was a little elevated, not really abnormal, but just slightly. And then my pancreatic lipase is elevated and has been consistently. Otherwise, I am in perfect health, but I just need a little insight because I can't get ahead on whatever my issue is with this.
All right. Well, thank you for, you know, asking me and sharing all that. So let's go in and let's validate everything that you have, even these two little blips on this, printouts that you have around your panel work and everything. Everything is very healthy. There's a couple of things for you to be sensitive of, honey. And one of the things is the pancreas itself is not producing enough sodium bicarbonate. The pancreas has two different functions. One is that it produces insulin. Insulin is what binds with glucose that allows allows the cells to be able to take the glucose in. That's their food source, in order for the body to be able to use the glucose for energy and the cells to use it to be able to be their life force and sustain themselves. So when we think of the pancreas, we always think of it from the standpoint of really tied to glucose, tied to potentially hypoglycemia, hyperglycemia or diabetes. That's not what we're talking about in your case, sweetie. The other role of the pancreas is that it actually creates a sodium bicarbonate. And the job of that sodium bicarbonate is to basically go in like baking soda and neutralize the acidity, that chyme that gets in the stomach itself, the bile, the pepsin, the hydrochloric acid, in order to neutralize that in a way that by the time that chyme gets into the stomach area and into the intestines, it's neutralized to the point where it's not going to burn the intestines and create other problems. When we don't produce enough of the sodium bicarbonate, our stomach becomes sour. That's the best way to say it. And for me to say to you, sweetie, you have a sour stomach. Your stomach is producing, your liver, your gallbladder is producing all the hydrochloric acid, the digestive enzymes you need, but you're not getting enough of the sodium bicarbonate naturally to be able to cool the gut down, cool the food down, or that chyme down before it actually goes and starts getting utilized. As a result, then you have what I would call a hot gut. That hot gut can create a lot of the burning where you're talking about underneath your breast rib area, the sternum. That's the stomach. You have the big bulb that's on the right-hand side, and it goes into that little tiny, you know, top part of it. That is on the left side, directly under where you're talking about, where you get a lot of your discomfort. I go in and I look at your stomach when it gets sour, and frankly, it looks like somebody took their fingernails and just raked it on the inside of the stomach. And what that does is it creates these grooves in there. Food can get trapped in there, this chyme, and it can create a burning sensation. Sometimes it'll back up on us in the form of GERD. Sometimes it'll cause the stomach to feel like it's overly full, not full enough. It can create a spastic colon or cramping or a burning or anything like that. So having said all of that anatomical stuff with you, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is to go in and look at some digestive enzymes. And you can, of course, do that through probiotics and some of the natural ways to do that. But we need to get your stomach cool. Do you work with a naturopath or a nutritionist at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you please go in and tell them that you're producing enough hydrochloric acid, pepsin, and also the bile that is needed in your stomach, but what is happening is that you're not getting enough sodium bicarbonate. What can you do nutritionally or through supplements that can cool your stomach down? And what that will do is it will take away a lot of the symptomology that's what sent you to the doctor in the first place. You do not have irritable bowel syndrome, but you have some of the symptomology of it. You also have some symptomology of an ulcer, but I couldn't find an ulcer while I'm traveling your stomach to look for it. Right now, your stomach feels like it's recovering from a place where it was feels like it was really touchy. That's kind of that groove syndrome that I'm talking about. And what we need to do is we need to keep that cool. And the other thing that just popped in, honey, and thank you for, you're very exquisite in sharing with me. One of the things is, Pam, when your stomach gets sour, hun, you may have a predisposition to think that you have food sensitivities. Mm-hmm. Have you been noticing that?
I've tried that route, and I haven't been able to figure that one out either.
Well, you know what, honey? You don't have food sensitivities. And so that's what just popped in, is it's to say if you're going to go in and look at those and do allergy testing, the truth is, sweetie, when your stomach is cool, I'm not getting a lot of this angst that gets in it and this, you know, quivering and all this thing. What do I do with all of this? So what you can do is, you know, we just need to keep that gut cool the way it needs to. The other thing is that your stomach seems to work hard to be able to break the food, the supplements that you take into that liquid chyme, it's called, into that form, to be able to be digested. When you do any supplements, if you could look at gel caps or liquid, that's going to help your stomach as well. So what I would do is I would talk to the naturopath about cooling the stomach down. the sodium bicarbonate with the pancreas itself, you know, we're never quite sure, both even me as a medical intuitive or the medical profession, why does that sodium bicarbonate get off? It may be that we get sour. That sourness can lead to a lack of production of it. It may be that would want to do some sodium bicarbonate, or you might want to start doing some apple cider vinegar. I know with vinegar, we think, oh my gosh, that might even be more difficult for the stomach. But the truth is it alkalizes and it happens very quickly. So you might want to look at some of the things. Your stomach overall looks very good. It's in recovery right now. There's times that I would like to be able to go in and take a paintbrush and maybe, Pepto-Bismol or Melcomagnesia or whatever those old remedies are that we use. And I just like to coat that little thing. It's like, okay, we're going to take all those little grooves and do that. And then it seems like it settles down for you.
Right.
And then it comes back. So it's, so one of the things that truthfully the doctors, until you get enough symptoms lining up where they can give you a diagnosis, which I'm not sure they're going to be able to do, all you need to do, honey, is take care of your tummy.
Perfect. Thank
the
you
other,
so much,
the girl. Other part of it is, sweetheart, I can go in another last waha. Here comes the waha part of Carol. Something in your life, and it may very well be this, you're feeling like you don't have control over. And you're not a control freak, but honey, I can tell you, something in your life right now, in your environment, feels like you need to step up, look at it, and say, what can I do to take over the control of this? It's not a big, hoopla about anything. It's just right now, some of this nervousness in the stomach, maybe that there's something, maybe you need your environment. Look at your environment. What in your environment can you change that you have control over? My sense is a lot of the stomach has to do with the nervousness around being out of control.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Pam. I
thank
really
you, Carol.
Appreciate it. My pleasure, sweetie. All right, Rebecca, let's go ahead and jump in, do a quick break. I'll be right back. I'm going to talk more about that love color of personality and what's it all got to do with it.
Like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, thank you for joining me. If you are just joining me, I'm talking about love, what's personality got to do with it, and talking about how each personality color, I teach it by color. And again, you can go on my website, www.reitberger.com, or whatcolorsyourpersonality.com. There's many assessment on there. And you know, the whole thing around love is being able to really understand what we need and then being able to let the people who are in our lives know what those needs are, so then they can be able to fulfill those needs. Now, it has to be reversed as well and reciprocal from the standpoint they have to be willing to talk about it as well. I'm also sharing my medical intuitive skills with you and answering questions about relationships, about your health. You can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. So I hope you'll give me a call and we can chat and I can share some of the things that I do as a medical intuitive and then my understanding of personality with you. I'm also wanting to invite you to a free teleclass on arthritis. It's going to be February 18th at 5 o'clock p.m. That's Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. The topic is arthritis. I'm going to be sharing how as a medical intuitive, some of the I see arthritis in the energy field, map it actually in the chakra system. I'm going to be talking also about the role personality plays in increasing the susceptibility to arthritis and then sharing some of the hidden meanings behind it. There's some changes that I'm doing. First of all, it is a free class. I'm going to be offering all of my teleclasses now free. There will be products that you'll be able to purchase if you like what you hear, an audio download, and then also a printable PDF that has a lot of information on arthritis that I may not get to cover in the teleclass. I have a lot of people that are collecting all of those PDF files, and they're actually creating a binder for themselves to be able to refer back to the different illnesses. So, you know, arthritis affects over 50 million Americans, and I'm going to be talking about all forms of arthritis. So the first thing is it's free. The second thing is we have products, and every month I'm going to be offering a different topic, and I've been getting a lot of great suggestions of topics. So if you have a topic that you'd like to have me cover on the teleclass, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the little button at the tab at the top that says teleclass. You can register and also submit your suggestion that you would like me to be able to talk about. Again, it's February 18th, 5 o'clock Pacific time. That's 5 o'clock PM Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And again, I hope that you'll join me. You can register on Reitberger.com. In my work around personality, I always go in and I look at personality through color. And the reason I chose color is it's a common language that we all can, we use and we can relate to. And it's a lot better than using labels. There's certain personalities that if you put them in labels like a driver or an analytical, that's not a problem for them. But if you use a personality who really doesn't want to be labeled, a color is much easier than to come in and say to them, you know, you have your head in the clouds, maybe a head in the cloud person. That's very derogatory. It may not be intended that way, but that's the way the personality hears it. So I actually use it by color. And when I go in and I look at the word love and how it's defined based on personality color, I started getting my first clue as to why it may be difficult for us to be able to get the love we're looking for, but also be able to give the love to the people that we care about in the way that they need. And so let me share some of those things. So the red personality, I have four colors, red, orange, yellow, green. The red is a very down-to-earth person, very pragmatic, very dogmatic, makes decisions based on logic. The red personality perceives love as being conditional, meaning that they'll give you love that you need and what you need as long as you put their needs first. Consequently, they have a lot of expectations around what love should be and what they expect from their relationships. So here's a hot tip for dealing with reds. Tell them how much you appreciate all they do for you and for their hard work. Those words in that simple statement is something that can turn that red personality around. Now, this isn't just a male-female phenomena. This is literally the neurology of a red personality. So again, hot tip, tell them how much you appreciate all they do for you. You don't have to say it over and over and over 15, 20, 30 times a day, but when you really get that sense inside that they've worked hard and maybe they're tired, just go up and they're physical people, touch them, put your hand on their shoulder, give them a hug and say to them, you know, I really appreciate all you do and all your hard work. That is music to their ears. The orange personality to love to the orange is selfless. That means that they're going to put other people's emotional needs before their own, hands down. no question asked. They see love as a deepening of the emotional bond between two people and forming a commitment that is so strong that it can withstand all the ups and downs, all the storms and all the good times that goes on their relationship. What the orange needs more than anything else is to have you appreciate them. But it isn't thank you. It isn't I appreciate all that you do for me. It's like, thank you. Thank you for doing the things to me. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for being able to be there when I need you and taking care of those little odds and ends that are so burdensome to me, and yet you do so easily. They just need to hear thank you. And you don't, again, have to do it 20, 30 times a day. In fact, both the red and the orange will immediately get suspicious that you want something. But so you don't want to do that. But when you feel that they've done something, or you've recognized they've done something, a thank you goes a long way to be able to keep them engaged. Yellows perceive love as being complicated and hard to find. In fact, when I did my interviewing and sending out my questionnaires and everything with the yellow personality, I would ask them about love, and you thought that I would ask them about rocket science. They would sit there, glaze over. I wasn't sure they heard the question. Being a yellow, I can certainly understand their behavior and where they are. But what they do is, when a yellow hears, you know, how do you define love? They have to go in and they have to go through their neurology, and they go in immediately as there's a problem. It's a loaded question. If I answer wrong, this would be the outcome. 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 And it goes on and on and on. And then what occurs is the yellow looks at you like a deer in headlights, and it's like you're looking at them, and may even say, depending on your personality, you know, I didn't ask you a question that was really that hard. I just want to know, what do you need in order to feel loved? Well, they're not working on what they need to feel loved. They're just trying to define the darn word love. So what they have with the yellow is there's different magnitudes of what they call love. There's love that is just, you know, the love that they feel for someone, just a kindness of how they reach out to someone or someone reaches out to them. But one of the things I can tell you really about love, when a yellow loves you, they may not tell you they love you all the time, but you can take that, as I call it, take it to the bank. They are there in all the ups and downs. The only time a yellow will become what I call ambivalent or indifferent in a relationship is if the lines of communication start to break down. Yellows are always going to try to solve a problem. All they hear is problems. That's the way they're designed. If it's a little problem, they hear it as a problem. If it's a big problem, they hear it as a problem. So here's a hot tip for dealing with yellows. Voice your respect and admiration for how well they handle problems. You can say to them, thank you for helping me solve that problem. Thank you for taking care of that for me. Yellows do little things, subtle things. They do things the way they work to make your life easier, so you don't have to deal with the problems. They'll deal with them for you. For them, that's how they say they love you. If you don't want them to deal with your problems, just tell them it's not a problem. They won't deal with it any longer, but you need to be able to communicate. Greens see love as a celestial event, a harmonic convergence, the merging of two people to create one. It's a sacred union between the soul, the mind, and the body. Love is literally a spiritual connection, and they love love. They love loving. They find it exciting. They measure themselves based on the quality and the quantity of love in their life, in their relationships. If the relationship, if love is at a struggle time, they're going to struggle tremendously. They need to be able to talk about that. They need to be able to share how they feel. They will. Unlike the orange, the green will get in your face and basically said, you know, this love is about work. You know, you need to do your part. I'll do my part. So here's a hot tip for dealing with green. You can never say I love you enough and why you love them too much. They need verbal reassurance of how much they are loved. So what I mean by that is, with the orange and with the red, you don't need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. But to the green, you do. For the green, when you walk out the door, I love you, that's a goodbye. When they walk in the door, I love you, that's a hello. When they do something that they're tickled about because they've been able to help you or do things for you, or maybe they sent you that card, or they left a flower on your pillow, or they create all those romantic things, you know what? tell them how much you love them. That goes a long way to being able to sustain relationship. So you can see just from that little bit I've been able to do in this segment is that love isn't a one-size-fits-all, and that each of us has our own definition, our own needs, and it's our job, again, like I said the first segment, share what those needs are. Greens, if you aren't hearing I love you, go up and say to someone, I love you. And then if they don't say it back, you say to them, I need to hear it like I share with you. Oranges, tell someone this is your time to be able to share with them. Create a date night that you can go out, talk about the things that are going on. Don't talk about the kids. Don't talk about money. Don't talk about anything, but go back and rekindle your dreams and share where you are emotionally. Reds, a good evening out is going to the same restaurant, ordering the same food, never any variation. So greens, if you're married to a red or you're partnered with a red, you like new, you like always something different, the red doesn't. The red wants to go the same place, predictable, predictable, predictable. That may not look like love to you as a green, but to the red, that is love. For yellows, you know, it's going to be complicated. Just go in with that. And what's going to happen is that you need to keep them engaged in the process. Know that they're going to be a deer in headlights sometimes. Just give them the time. Don't push them. And say to them, oh, I can see that what I ask, you need to think about. That's not condescending to a yellow at all. And give them the time to think about it. And then they'll come back once they've thought it through. Very, very important tips. Again, all of these tips, all of these definitions of love by color, money, children, everything is in my Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It book. It'd make a great Valentine's gift for you, for your partner, for friends that may be having relationship issues. And it would be great if the two of you could get away for Valentine's Day and remember why you fell in love in the first place. Those are the things that are very important about sustaining a relationship. Let me jump right in and let me take Peg in California, line two. Hi, Peg.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, sweetie. Thanks for hanging on so long so I could chatter and everything. How can I help you, though?
Well, I have, first of all, I had some questions that I was going to ask, but then when I tuned in, you're talking about a relationship, so I thought, well, that's interesting, too. But, I was interested in what you see about physically and emotionally in my body, and I've just started this kind of a change in my career, so I was curious about that.
All right, so let's go in. Okay, well, let's go in. First of all, the change in the career is really a good thing for you. You like change, you like new, you like learning, you're very curious, you're kind of like this little girl that never grew up from the curiosity stage of life. You love to experience new things, meeting new people. The thing that you're going to find, sweetie, is that once you get into a job, it's going to, a career, it's going to maybe hit a place where you have what I call the maintenance time of it. It's the part like boring, boring, boring. There's nothing changing. There's nothing going on. You know, you've positioned yourself really well, honey, in the career that you're in, not the job. The job is okay, but the fact that you stepped into the career that really matches who you are, where you do that work really isn't going to make much difference. But it's almost like I find you walked into that, you know, perfect big department store that has all these different options and at all these different floors, and it has cosmetics and perfumes and clothes and juniors and sports things and yoga and all the different stuff. You are literally in the right career. The job itself where you work really isn't going to be important. The other thing is you really needed to get out of where you were. And so feel good about that and validate it. It just felt heavy on you. That heaviness I can pick up in your shoulders. I can pick it up in your neck. I can pick it up in your feet. It feels like you know, a part of you felt like you were just stuck. You couldn't walk. You couldn't do the things that you need to do. It's almost like you were frozen in a place that was just so untenable to you that you had to just make a clean break and change. Congratulations for doing that.
Totally true.
Good. See how good you are sending to me? I'm only reading your energy. So the one thing is, I can say to you, the origin site of all stress in your body is your shoulders. But even more importantly, honey, when you clamp that jaw down and you can feel that jaw tighten. You can feel that neck tighten. You're in a stress situation, honey. You have one or two choices. You either express what's creating the stress or you're going to have to walk away from it. Your shoulders, when those shoulders start touching those earlobes, sweetie, you've gone too far. So if you can learn to read your body, it's all about the shoulders, it's all about the neck, it's all about the jaw. If you can stop the process there, then it won't go and map through your body to where it will create some of the other aches and pains and the things that are going on in your body. When was the last time you had a massage?
Oh, gosh. Long, long time.
I think you should treat yourself to a spa day. There's two things that I think you should treat yourself to. One is a massage. The second is a facial. It'll release those and relax those muscles in the face and around the eyes and everything. You'll look in the mirror and you'll feel like a different person and look like a different person.
Okay.
Good Valentine's Day. Now, I know that you have a specific place in your body that you have concerns about. I touched on the generalities to be able to help you in answering your question. Could you take me to that specific place you have a concern about?
I think it's arthritis. I have it in my hand pretty bad.
Yeah. And one of the... go ahead.
That's okay.
No, please go ahead and finish. I'm sorry about that one.
I also have it throughout my body, in my spine and all my joints. And it doesn't really cripple me or anything. I mean, I still do. I'm very active. But I'm kind of concerned about it, I guess.
Well, arthritis is an autoimmune disorder. That's the first and foremost thing we should all know about arthritis. What it is the immune system itself has turned on a part of the body, whether it's the collagen or the cartilage or it's the bone itself, whatever it is, arthritis is an autoimmune disorder. When I talked about the autoimmune turning again on itself, in my world as a medical intuitive, there is something that we have been in sustained for a period of time that we have turned on ourselves. And that isn't a blame game around it, but it's like when we start, the immune system becomes tired and we start getting all these arthritic type situations. Our body is saying is we need to stop turning on ourselves. We need to make a change. We need to get out of a situation, out of a job, whatever it may be. And we need to feed the immune system. And how do we do that? We love ourselves. One of the things Edgar Cayce said is that you cannot stay angry with yourself and not be sour in your stomach or arthritic in your bones.
Yeah, that's great.
And you know, I mean, you're doing a great job. You've done a great job. A lot of what you're experiencing, that my sense is that it's been diagnosed as arthritis, really has a lot to do with muscles, honey. The muscles, especially in your upper back and the trapezius muscles that basically go from the top of the, the neck all the way down to about the shoulder blades. That is just as tight as can be, sweetie. That's why I suggested that you go in and that you, get yourself a massage. Relax that. Those are the loving things, the self-care things that are really important for us and the well-being of our body.
Okay.
So feed the immune system lots of love, lots of greens, lots of reds, fruits and vegetables, lots of orange, beta carotene, and then also add a little bit of yellow to the diet, a rainbow diet. That's going to help you tremendously. And most important is look in the mirror because I can't see you. Physically, of course, but I can feel you energetically. Honey, you've got a smile that would stop people on the street. I can see that in you. And you know what? I want to see that. That smile, walk by and people, look at you. What's that person smiling about? Don't worry about it. Just smile. Just smile.
Okay.
And like Dolly Parton said, they're really contagious. They really are. But that's how you bring people in. And that's how you get to experience the love. You love touching people at that level. So I want you to smile, a massage, and a good facial. Woohoo! Sounds like
okay.
A good Valentine's Day to me.
Yes, all right. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, hon. Light and love. Hi, let's try to squeeze in Deborah from Utah. Hi, Deborah.
Oh, hi. The phone just went, and I thought maybe I lost you.
Nope.
Hi, Carol.
I'm back. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, I'll make it really short since we're near the end here. I wanted to know, I've had a few experiences. I do have Healing Happens, and I do have your personality and your help. I haven't had a chance to read your personality, so I don't really know what I am. But my question is, I've had some things happen with the medical intuitive. In other words, I've gotten some insights to some of the emotions that I'm carrying, or sometimes even I think maybe they're not mine. You know, sometimes they might be my son's, you know, like I felt his fear come up the other day. But I've also not very balanced in the medical. I don't know whether to pursue the medical intuitive or not, because I think that maybe I don't have enough confidence.
Well, you know, yes, and I, oh boy, do I understand that. One of the things is, first of all, sweetie, you're empathic. You're an empath. And what that means is that part of your languaging of your intuition is to literally use, first of all, images in your mind that you get, and then your body as a Geiger counter to be able to tell you what you're picking up with someone. It's very easy for us to do that with family members when they allow us to do that, meaning they don't block us out energetically, where we can literally feel things. Part of your son's gift to you, your gift to him, is to be able to teach him how to use his empathic skills in a way that it will be of service to him and to others. His job is to allow you to empathically touch him, to be able to feel the fear, to be able to know that fear is really the root of the stress that creates the illnesses or pre-illness in the energy field and then in the body. One of the things is that I never thought that I would be a medical intuitive either, but you have the ability to connect with people at that emotional level. The body speaks emotions through their organs and glands, and then also the muscle structure, the skeletal structure, thoughts. So, if this is something that you want to pursue, when you pick up someone's energy or something that's happening, maybe the fear in your son, go in and ask, where in the body are you feeling that? That he's feeling it. And then I want you to buy yourself some good books on anatomy and physiology, not the type that are like a college textbook, but maybe the color books around, you know, coloring the body. There's a lot
I
of those.
Actually
good, simple.
I went to school as a massage therapist, so I do have those books.
Perfect, perfect. So what I want you to do is I want you to go in, and when you pick that up, go and look at what the organs and glands are in that area.
Okay.
And then go in and look at the muscles that are in that area. Then you can go back to my book, and there's a lot of other wonderful books. Donna Eden has a great book, Energy Medicine. Very, very good book. Go in and start connecting your dots, sweetie. That's where you're really good.
I just don't
and the
feel
thing
like
is,
I'm
is,
very clear sometimes, and I worry and I don't get permission to work with other people. I quit doing massage because some things were happening.
Yes. Well, the thing is that you must have ethics around it. You know that. We can't go into people's fields without being invited into it.
Okay.
That's the first and foremost thing. The other thing is, honey, you're not going to build the confidence until you start doing the work. Start asking, you know, working with people, sharing the different things. Start with people that you feel comfortable with and then move from there.
My family's frightened of it.
Well, sweetie, I just want to share something with you. When this happened and I came back, my father did not have anything to do with me for over 6 years, sweetie. I lost a relationship over it. I found another one. So there's always something there. You know what? Maybe that you're not weird. Maybe they're weird. I don't know if that's rationalization in reality, but sweetie, I can tell you, you have a gift. That gift is one that you came here to share with other people. You've tried modalities. Some have worked, some haven't.
Yeah.
The one thing I can tell you is being empathic, connect your dots, use your anatomy and physiology, look at what it is, gather your information, and then take it to the next step. You will get validated. Take it to the next step, and you will get validated. You know, really, Deborah, sweetie, I would love to say there's a magic formula, but the reality of it is, we have to just be willing to show up and do the work.
Okay.
And that means that we have to put ourselves out there. We don't go in and make ourselves vulnerable to the point where we're going to be, injured or wounded by it. I mean, my gosh, I used to talk to people in the grocery store about, wow, what a beautiful aura you have. The whole line would clear away with the baskets. So like, don't go down aisle 5. There's a crazy woman down there. You know what? I wasn't crazy. I just didn't know how to do what I did. And I didn't know how to be able to express it. So, sweetie, don't give up. You've got the tools. You just need to find the process. And you know what? Find someone you can talk to. Find a teacher. Find someone that can validate you. There's nothing better than validation, Deborah. I've been very blessed with doctors. Sweetie, you will be also if this is the direction you want to go. Sorry to have to cut you off because, boy, you and I could have a conversation for a long time. I want to thank everyone that's still on the line. Again, I don't know. These hours go so darn quick. It's so much fun. If you want to see me for another hour in the afternoon, we're going to start out. I think we're going to try for an hour. It'll depend on how many people we actually get engaged in things, but you can pick me up on vibrancetv.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you on the radio next Wednesday. Light and love. This is Carol.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.